very thankful for the prayer and for the song service this morning, and more than anything, for your attendance and your desire and your willingness to take this day and make it a part of a day in which you worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that our minds might be clear and that we might be seated in such a way that we would take in the teachings of God's Word, and it would really make a difference in our life. If you want to know what life is really about, take that song every day and read it. I mean, there's no clearer promise and truth in God's Word than what you find in that song. So many people believe that they live a certain way or do a certain thing that life is just going to be a life without any problems, without any troubles. You know, a life of sun without any rain, a life of brightness without any darkness, without any clouds. You'd be surprised how many people believe such a thing or begin to believe such a thing, and then when the troubles of life come, they overflow them. Sometimes they crumble little by little. Sometimes they completely collapse. The subject on my mind this morning is trouble. And, you know, it's not a pleasant subject, but it's one that's real and one that we need to certainly understand if we're going to deal with life's journey. You know, a lot of people go on through life and they don't understand God's Word and they don't read God's truth, and when the storms of life come, and they will come, I don't care who you are and where you live, how smart you think you are, what you're doing in this life, you can be sure they will come. But before we get into this subject, I want you to realize there's something that I believe, as time goes on, is lacking in our world and among our people and among our young people too, is the truth of God's Word. You know, we live in a time when people say all you need to do is love God. That's all that matters. You don't have to do anything. Truth's not really important. Doctrine's not really important. Just love God and do good. And those things are important in and of themselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ, in the prayer to the Father, in what is known as the high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, says, sanctify them through thy truth. I don't know what truth means to you, and I don't know what you know about God's truth, but I tell you, it's an important aspect of our lives. You see, building your life upon the foundation of God's truth tells me something about what will happen to you and I when the walls start coming down. When the rug's pulled out from under you, and it will be. You know, I'll give you an example. 20 years ago on this past Mother's Day, I woke up one morning. I seen my wife and my daughter. I walked out of the house. I went up north to a sprinkler. I left. I never seen them again. That was the end of my seeing them in my life. And I don't tell you this so you'll bring sympathy to me. By the grace of God, I go on. I'm telling you, life is real, and anybody that believes such circumstances don't happen, they don't know what they're talking about. I get a call last Saturday from my cousin that she had been murdered by her own son. Things happen, brothers and sisters. Troubles come. And God's truth is the only thing that will hold you up. It's the only foundation that will keep you from crumbling apart or completely collapsing. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people listen to this today and they just ignore it and go on about their life. Doesn't matter to them. But I tell you, it will matter when that day comes, and that day will come. It'll come for all of us. There's nobody that's immune to storms or troubles. I know some sitting in this congregation that have had the exact same thing happen to them that's happened to me. They can tell you about that day. They can tell you about God's grace to weather that storm. That doesn't mean that if you know God's truth, you'll never have a problem. You'll never cry. You'll never mourn. Nothing will ever go wrong. But it does mean that something will be different about you than the average person. When you wake up one day and you no longer see your child, you realize that your child will no longer get married and have any grandkids. When you realize the things in this life that will happen, when I talk to my cousin whose daughter now realizes her four-month-old daughter will never see her grandmother, I'm going to tell you, these tragedies in life and these troubles that come our way, they're real, and they have an effect on our life that most people who have not walked in those shoes cannot even possibly imagine, have no clue. They'll walk out of the building. They'll keep going as they are. But I tell you what's interesting to me, and the reason I bring this truth up before we get into our subject is, I see day in and day out people who love the Lord, who find these things that happen to them in life, these occurrences, and I tell you, they have such a hard time handling them. They begin to question God. They begin to get angry at God. You know, they don't know the truth of God's word. They don't understand it. They really don't. You know, truth in God's word is not just about our salvation, and that's extremely important in the time of death. When someone you love dies, I see these questions being raised now in the funeral that I just had. You'd be surprised at those that never go to church much, that never attend the fellowship and worship with the saints and never read their Bible. When somebody dies, the thoughts begin to flow through their mind. Where are they and what happened to them? And these things that ground us, a foundation that is solid, is called the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. You know, the further we walk away from Christ as we live on this earth, the more likely our foundation will crumble when that day comes, or it will be completely collapsed. Some people's lives are never the same. They never get back on track again because of these things that come. Truth is important, very important. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is found in God's word. There is no truth outside of God's word. If you study something, if you read something, if you believe something, if you think about something that doesn't harmonize with the teachings of God's word, then I tell you, it's not the truth. The basis of all truth, the standard of all truth, the measurement of all truth stands against the only truth that we know is absolute, and that's the word of God. That's the absolute truth and word of God. That's where we base our truth. That's where we begin to examine those who claim this is true. You examine it against the word of God. That is the absolute measurement. You know, God didn't tell us something that wasn't going to come to pass. The Bible tells us in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Do you know that in God's nature and in God's character and in His virtues, He cannot lie? It's impossible. You and I can lie all day long, and oftentimes do. But God cannot lie. And whether you take God's truth into your heart or not, doesn't change God's truth. And it will not change the outcome of circumstances and difficulties that you'll face here in this life. Let's go on for just a little bit and talk about troubles. Trouble is like sin in one aspect. We can't get away from it in this life. Did you know that? I don't care how hard you try to become sinless, and that should be an effort that each of us have, is to become less sinful in our lives. If we say that we have no sin, John says we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. We're all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners. We're all sinners by nature. We've all become sinners by practice. But we should make every effort in the life that we live to not sin. But we're never going to get pure and sinless until we go home to be with the Lord in glory. Friends, I'm here to tell you, trouble is like that. Is it not? Trouble can certainly be that way. Jesus said in John 16, in verse 33, in this world ye shall have tribulations. You know, He didn't try to equate that to the way you live or the circumstances under which you're brought up. He just said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. I don't care how narrow, straight and narrow a path you believe you're walking, no matter how many times you've went to church, no matter how much you've done for your children, every one of us will face trials and tribulations in our life. And they're never easy. You know, there are trials and tribulations that will bring tears to our eyes and mourning to our soul time and time again in this life. But I tell you, it's important to understand that it's only in Christ, and we look at that, it's only in the hope of God that we weather these storms. You know, we don't live so good that we don't have them. You know, it rains upon the just and the unjust alike, does it not? The trials and the tribulations of life come to all of us. Everyone gets sick. Everyone gets afflicted. And everyone's going to die. Save the Lord coming back. If He didn't come back, There's not a person out there, the ungodly or the godly or the finest doctor you know, they're not going to beat death. But I tell you one that did beat death, and that's Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that death is swallowed up in victory. For every person that you've loved that has gone home to be with the Lord, death was swallowed up. It's gone. It doesn't remain anymore. It's no more a part of their being or their habitat. Time doesn't exist there either, but death no more has any grip on them. No more dominion over them. Because it was swallowed up when the Lord Jesus Christ defeated Satan at Calvary. So we got that to look forward to. You know, I thought a lot about death, and I'm not going to speak a lot about it today, but it's a subject that I hear young people don't want to hear preached about. I probably got a son that's that way, but death is as real as anything you and I are ever going to face. And it's not to be feared. For the child of God, death is not to be feared. The Bible tells us it's esteemed. And the more we know about death and the more we understand about what lies beyond the grave, in glory, in heaven, I think the more exciting it is and the less difficult it is to journey through this world and this life without fear, knowing that one day, regardless of when we die, we're going to be with the Lord. You know, we don't choose when to die. We don't choose how we're going to die. We get all caught up in the circumstances around why we died. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, does it? We're gone, and the ones that are left behind are mourning that loss. Sometimes it ruins their lives. Their lives collapse. Anyway, if they're not founded upon the foundation of God's truth, a lot of times it'll chip away. As I said, there were questions asked about, where is the soul now? I've heard this week. Where is this and where is that? Do you understand that when you close your eyes in death upon this earth, you immediately open your eyes in the presence of Jesus Christ, and the things of this life are gone? It's the anchor of our soul. It is the hope that we have. And there is many of God's people out there who sorrow not as you and I do because they don't have that hope. We have an earnest expectation that there is something far better than what we have here in this earth. Let's think about trouble. What is trouble? It's adversity. It's affliction. It's anguish. Sometimes we have troubles in our life because they're self-inflicted. In other words, they're directed at us, but sometimes trouble comes indirectly. For sure. What is trouble? Well, it's having sorrow in one's soul. I tell you what I believe trouble is. I put it in simple language. I believe when you have enough trouble in your life and it resonates to your heart, that there is no peace in your soul. There's no joy in your soul. I don't believe that if your heart is troubled, and we'll get to that a little later, that you can have real peace and real joy in your soul. But we're told in Proverbs chapter 23, speaking of those things that we do sometimes that causes troubles in our life. What this verse says will not eliminate all troubles in our life, because we're not some of the troubles are directly from us because of our own actions, our own intents, and what we say. Notice what the verse says. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. I'm going to take this a lot further than what this verse says in the world we live in today. Social media is one of the greatest things for people to vent on in this world. They let out their thoughts of the mind. You know what happens, as James says, when the fiery tongue spews out its poison from a mouth or a lips of a human being? It can never be returned. Whatever damage it does, it can never be brought back. Social media is just as bad as the mouth. Now people have learned that I can type what I want and I can send it to this person. They tell people things that most of them would never tell them if they were standing eye to eye to them in their very presence. It's very damaging, very damning, if you would, condemning. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Think about that. That's one way to have less trouble in our life, and that trouble is a trouble that you and I cause day in and day out if we put the wrong words on Facebook, or we tweet them, or whatever it is. How often do you see people out there when they get upset and they get angry, they do their venting on that? They can never return what they said. It's just as bad as if they had spoken to them. You know, isn't it amazing how wise and smart God is? God said, if you don't keep your mouth and you don't control your tongue, you're going to have a lot more trouble in your life. And I've seen it. I've witnessed it. It's the absolute truth. It's just as bad as if you and I had said it. And that's troubles that we have directly caused by our own actions. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. You know, we're told in the Bible to let the peace of God rule in your heart. It is God's peace and God's joy that our souls yearn for. Sometimes we obstruct that by our actions and our ways in this life. Troubles can come because of our own lips, our own mouth, or the things, our own actions. This is just one great example. But oftentimes, troubles come from affliction. You know, we see folks in the world, they go to the doctor and their lives are not founded on the foundation of God's truth, which is a rock. It's founded more like on the sand that a foolish man builds his house on. You know, both the man that built his house upon the rock and the man that built his house upon the sand were God's children. But the man who built his house upon the sand, it said when the flood came and the winds blow, you know, his house fell and great was the fall of it. It didn't mean he lost his eternal life by any means. It meant his life here fell to pieces. It collapsed. It could just be chipped away at, but it collapsed. We go to Isaiah chapter 38, and we find a time that some of us have witnessed in our lifetime. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Have you ever known anybody that went to the doctor and they said, you got stage 4 cancer, you're terminal, you've got 6 months to live, you got a year to live? If that's not troubling news, I don't know what is. It troubles our hearts. It troubles our souls. But I believe when we understand the truth of God's word and we build our life upon that foundation, yes, we mourn for those who've left us. We have pain in our heart and soul, but it's different. We don't collapse. God's grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Because in my lifetime, in those difficult times, I drew closer to God than I probably have any other time in my entire life. And it doesn't just have to be death. It can be through divorce. It can be through numerous things that we call upon the Lord. But Isaiah here said, in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Not only did that trouble Hezekiah, it probably troubled his family. There was a lot of troubles there. You know, we can be troubled by death. We can be troubled by our own actions because we done something that we should not have done. And most of the time, back to that first point, when we let something go forth from our tongue and out of our mouth, sometimes we wish we hadn't have sent that, but we can't get it back. We need to think before we do those things. I'll never be amazed, and I'll never quit quoting what Elder Ricky Harcrow said one time when he's here. He says, never miss an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Never miss an opportunity not to send something out over social media if it's going to be damning to someone else. What benefit do you and I have? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He didn't say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better be glad it's not an eye and an eye, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Thanks be to God, which give us the victory. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, I know we're offended, and I know when somebody does something to us, we hurt. But that doesn't give us a license to attack them. God says, bring it to him. I'll take care of it. He didn't say when he'd take care of it and how he'd take care of it, but you can be sure if he promised to take care of it, he will. You may not be in the audience when he does, but that's not your concern. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, as we continue on, we find that oftentimes, as I mentioned, there's great anguish in death. And we could go to many different verses in Scripture, but I want to go to one in John chapter 11. In verse 32, beginning. Then was Mary come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know, that would always be the case. That would always be the case. You know, the Lord always takes the life, and I don't mean he causes the death, but he always takes the life. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. Elder Mike Mosley told me that Elder Clifford Goins spoke that, and I used that at that funeral. God gives you the life, and God takes the life. Speaking of one who died and the one that I just preached, God was there at that moment, and he took that life, but he did not cause that death. Why did he? Because the life belonged to him. He's the giver of life. He's the taker of life. He took that life and he delivered it home. Now, it wasn't the deliverance that everybody wanted. They wanted him delivered, or her delivered, in the manner they wanted. But God's promised deliverance, has he not? And she was delivered home. You know, we ought not to drive our roots too deep. Because the one thing that we need to understand, this is not our home. Never was and never will be. And thanks be to God for that. We're just journeying along, little by little, and like a vapor, we'll soon vanish into the yonder. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, we'll soon be forgotten, and we are. You know, my grandfather passed away in 1987. I was closer to him probably than any grandparent I had per se, and lived with him a lot. But, you know, I don't think upon him very often anymore. On occasion, but it's not a daily thought. That happens to all of us, and that's the way it is. There's no remembrance of former things, Solomon said. He doesn't say you never remember it, but it's not a constant thought upon our minds, and that's the truth. Life goes on. We vanish away, and thanks be to God for that. We go home to be with the Lord. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit, and he was troubled. This ought to be one of the most comforting verses for the child of God that he ever read. The Bible tells us that the Lord knows the feelings of our infirmities. I tell you, when he seen those folks, those Jews, when he seen the sister of Lazarus weeping and mourning, sorrowing in her soul, it troubled the Lord. It troubled him. In other words, don't think for one minute God doesn't know how you feel. God doesn't understand your troubles and your difficulties and your problems. He does. And God can either deliver you to live here in this life, or he can deliver you from everything that's wrong in this life and bring you home to heaven. That's truly the deliverance that the body and the soul is yearning for. A deliverance into glory in the presence of Jesus Christ. Our old human nature fights against that sometimes. And I believe we are to live on. We're not to take our life. I don't believe that'll keep us from going to heaven by any means, but as long as God has given us life, he's given us purpose. And the purpose is to serve him, to be grounded upon his truth, to help those in need, and to do the things that he'd call upon us to do. And one of them is worshiping our God and our Lord. We continue to see where Jesus, and it said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And he said, Jesus wept. You know, we're told to cast our care upon him, for he cared for us. He cares for us. He careth for you. He knows how you feel when someone has died in your life close. He knows that there's a yearning so deep inside of you that you would have never known it had you not went through those circumstances. He knows it. And I'll tell you, there's folks here today all over the world in that condition. There's not a lot of them that we're close to or that we know of at this immediate moment, but it happens to the Lord's people every day. You know, think about this. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. We don't like them, but we're going to have a steady diet of troubles in our life. That's not encouraging, is it? You know, Job cleared it up, didn't he? He said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. What he said there, about the time you come on the scene here, you can expect to have a life filled with trouble. Filled with trouble. Now, that's difficult. What we need to understand is there's a way to get through the trouble. And it's not of yourself. It's not of me or any other preacher. The only way you get through the troubles of this life is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth. And He is the most important being in our life, whether we acknowledge it, whether we live like it, live by that truth, apply it to our life or not. You know, you're going to see folks that when these troubles come to them in life, their life is going to fall apart. I've seen it many times. The joy is ripped out of their life. The peace is ripped away from them. And they struggle to go one day to another. They're filled with anger and bitterness. Friends, I want you to know troubles are a part of life. Your life's going to be filled with troubles. Jesus said, in this world, ye shall have tribulations. You know, there's a verse that we read that really tells us a little bit about that. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Now, He's the one that told us we're going to have a life full of troubles. And then He says, don't let it trouble you. Kind of sounds almost contradictory, doesn't it? I tell you what, Jesus promised us that we're going to have troubles, but He also promised to never leave us nor forsake us, that we might boldly say the Lord is our helper. You know, we've all had troubles of numerous kinds, and unfortunately that trouble's not over, whether it be death, sickness, or troubles that we created because we didn't keep our mouth shut or we done some other kind of, performed some other kind of action in our life that brought troubles to our life. But troubles is an ongoing part of our life. We don't seem to get away from them no more than we can get away from sinning. It's just an absolute part of our life. But I tell you, if you're not grounded in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, these troubles will overflow you like the waves of the ocean. They'll bring you down to where you can't hardly function and go on. You know, I want to tell you something about somebody who was established and grounded in the truth, and that's Sister Sanders' mother. She was sick in the hospital, and I know this story, and Brother George is up there, and he was going to miss church one Sunday. You won't find many that had this kind of strength and faith. She was in the hospital, and she said, you go on, and if I die, don't you worry about it. You know, she knew where she was going, and so did Brother George. They were so grounded in that truth and that foundation of Jesus Christ that death wasn't shaking them like death shakes a lot of folks. Even God's people are so shook by death, oftentimes they have a hard time going on. You know, the Bible tells us that death for the child of God is merely a sting. You know, we don't die. We really begin living when this old body ceases to be. It's just a house. It's just a body of clay. Your spirit and soul that dwells in this house of clay is who you are. We get so caught up in the picture of what we see. Just like the building. Me and Brother Darrell was talking about his mother's house out there, and they lived in for 50 years, and I've seen this in churches where we worship for 50 years, and we just can't leave, but it's just a building. The church is you and I, the people of God. It's not about the clothes or the building or the pews or anything else. Amazing how we get so tied to these things and grounded in these things that they shake us. We're not supposed to live forever. Death is sure and certain if the Lord doesn't come back. For the millions and billions of people born from the very beginning, most of them are going to face death. It's an enemy. But yet that enemy has been defeated by Jesus Christ. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That we ought to be able to go through life. Even though we weep and that we sorrow and we have tears, we're going to have those. But we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Troubles are sure. Notice what it says. And we're going to get a few verses over here in Psalms. The psalmist says in verse 38 and verse 6, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Have you ever been so troubled that you can't get on with life? Have you ever been? And it doesn't matter what troubles you. There are so many things on that list. It's a smorgasbord of things that trouble us. Just take your pick. But be sure you're going to have those troubles in this life. We're told in Psalms 88 and verse 3, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I mean, some people are so full of troubles that that they're ready to go to the grave. They're so sorrowful. But our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. It's not in someone else. Let's notice what it says in verse 25, Psalms 25, verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distress. Friends, the message this morning is you're going to have troubles. In the workplace, it may be in a marriage, it may be in anything that we can think of in life, including death. But the truth of your troubles and your problems and what caused them and what will remedy them, bring you a remedy, is found in God's Word. It is the foundation of all truth, the only truth that you can lay hold of and know that it's absolute. And anything you believe, anything you think should be measured against the truth of God's Word. And if it doesn't hold up, it's not the truth. Because there's not an issue in your life that's not contained in the Word of God. And God has the truth concerning that issue. I want to go over here and I want to read a few verses from Psalm 77. You know, we need deliverance. Whether God delivers us to continue on our way or He delivers us home to be in glory. Troubles are real. We have them every day of our life. Whether by death, whether being afflicted like Hezekiah and knowing that it's time to get our house in order. Knowing that we'll not see those that we love any longer. But we need to realize the truth and the promises of God's Word. That's what will hold you and I up. That's what will keep us going. Day in and day out. It's what will keep us from falling apart or collapsing because our lives are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect. And we need to remember that because God not only promises that we'll have troubles, but He's promised that if we will build our house upon Him, upon His truth and upon His foundation, that when these things come, and they will come, your foundation won't be chipped away at. You know, the water washes that sand. It hits it, and it beats on it so long that finally the sand will totally collapse. But not that rock. And that rock is Christ. And that's what we need to build our house upon. Notice what it says, and this is the condition of the psalmist. And then he brings forth some answers in Psalm 77. He said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. You know, when you truly cry unto the Lord, He hears you. God hears His child crying unto Him. Have you cried unto the Lord? In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. That's where we start. The psalmist says, when troubles came, I sought the Lord. Many people seek psychiatrists. Many people seek everything out in the world. And there are a place for those folks. That's understandable. But there's also a place for the Lord at the top of the list. He's the first that you seek. He said, I sought the Lord. My sore, ran in the night and ceased not. Have you ever had a sore on your body, a boil or anything else, an open wound, maybe from a surgery or whatever it might be? You know, there are folks that had surgery like Brother Keith and I know brethren from other that the wound had to heal from the inside out and it oozed and it ran. And it's very, very painful. Notice what he says here. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. This pain wouldn't go away. And then he compares it. My soul refused to be comforted. This is the type of suffering and sorrow this man had in his soul because of the troubles that he faced. Friends, we all face trouble. But I tell you, he had one thing right. The first thing he done was sought the Lord. He said, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You know, a lot of times people remember God and they begin to question God. Why am I troubled? And they begin to complain. I didn't deserve this. Friends, we deserved it and we deserved a lot more. But we continue to read. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. This man was full of trouble, and the troubles were weighing him down. They were a heavy burden in his life. He said, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Oh, so often when we're in trouble, do we not reflect back on times past when things were not so bad? Or have we forgotten a trouble that happened 20 years ago? It's not fresh upon our mind. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been in such trouble that you believe the Lord has cast you off forever? Will he be favorable no more? This is the condition of a man whose troubles were overflowing him. He knew that he needed the Lord, but trouble was real. It's not just real to you and I. It's been real to all folks throughout all ages. These things were written for our learning and for our company, comfort. His mercy, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? This is a man who's let the troubles overflow him. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. And what he meant there, don't let that trouble resonate so deep down inside of you that you fall apart, that you collapse. You need to stand upon the truth of God's word. It doesn't mean you won't hurt and you won't mourn, but you know that there's a day coming, the day of all days, the morning of the resurrection. There's coming a time when your soul and spirit will depart your body and you'll be in the presence of the Lord to never have another sleepless night, to have no more death in your life, no more tears, no more problems of any kind. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I tell you, in our greatest time of trouble, we need to reflect back upon the blessings of God's hand. It's always the right hand of God that blesses us. He helped us. He was there for us. And sometimes we so soon forget that God carried us through whatever storm that we had. And unfortunately, that ain't the last storm that we encounter. Job said, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Our life is filled with trouble. One trouble passes, another comes. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. I cannot tell you, and I cannot stress, that if we don't focus upon Jesus Christ day in and day out in our lives, that when these troubles come and these storms happen, and they will happen, we're not going to be able to handle it very well. We may very well fall apart. We may very well collapse. I've seen it happen numerous times, even with God's people, because the truth is not established and grounded in their hearts. And that truth will not stay there unless we continue to read. I don't read the Bible like I should. I read it a lot more than I did before I began to preach. But God's truth is the most important truth you'll ever know. This is the most important book you could ever read. We're told out of the heart come the issues of life. And the issues of life are contained in God's word and how we deal with them when the remedies for them and they're in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, to be of all courage, to be cheerful, I've overcome the world. He overcame death at the cross of Calvary. Death was swallowed up in victory. And thanks be to God that he's given each of one of us the victory through his efforts and not ours. But some folks just can't handle trouble. They're not established and grounded in the truth. And I believe some folks believe trouble will never come. But you may very well wake up one morning just like I did. You may wake up one morning like Cindy's kids did, or the multitudes and the thousands of folks that we know in this world, just to mention a few. We may wake up one morning to never see those that we loved again. How will you handle it? Are you established and grounded in the Word of God to the point that you can hold up? You know, Paul was going through a tremendous amount of problems, was he not? He had been carried to the third heaven, and you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you just read list after list after list of things that the Apostle Paul went through. Then he got a glimpse of glory that I don't believe hardly anyone's ever gotten, and he said the things he saw, the words, he could not possibly utter them. In other words, I don't believe you and I could understand and had any comprehension of what Paul seen when he went to heaven. He prayed three times that whatever thorn it was that was in his side, the pain and the trouble that was he was going through, he prayed that God would take that away from him, but God didn't. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'll tell you what, in my lifetime, the weaker I've been, the more I've drawn upon God. I believe that's why God allows his children to go through these storms and these troubles. Because life is about the Lord. It's not about us. I just can't explain enough how caught up we get about all the achievements we've made in this world and all the glorious things we do. And we got these great jobs and we're doing all these things for everybody. Friends, we ain't done anything. God's done it all. And he's given you the strength. If you got a good job and make a lot of money, it's because God gave you the strength. Deuteronomy chapter 8. He goes on to explain what happens to the man who forgets the Lord his God. He can take everything we have away. But friends, he's who we need in time of trouble. He's who we look for. You know, as we go to a gravesite, we often use the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I did last week. He said, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. He said that we sorrow not as others who have no hope. Friends, when you understand God's truth and you apply it to your heart and you read about it, study about it, you set it under the preaching of the gospel, when the troubles of life come, and I can assure you as much as anything, some type of trouble will come to your life over and over and over. It may be your children not living up to what you wanted them to be. It may be that the church is declining in attendance or your children don't go to church anymore. It may be that you're having a hard time at work or you lost your job. It may be that you're consumed with something in this world that has taken your eyes off of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to tell you, there's nothing more important than understanding our need for God's truth in our life. You know, when death comes, we'll know that our loved one's in heaven because the Word of God declares it. And if you don't read it and you don't study it and you don't keep it in your hearts and your minds day in and day out, your foundation is fairly weak, real weak in my opinion. And when that day comes, it oftentimes folks fall apart. They have the rug pulled out from under them and they don't know how they're going to go on. You'd think they believe they're going to live here forever. None of us are going to live here forever. But I tell you, when you understand God's truth and his promises, it's a strength that other people don't have. It doesn't take away our pain, but it helps us get through our pain. It helps us to get on with what life has for us. May God bless us to understand his truth. May God bless us to continue on and realize that when troubles come, our hope is in none other than Jesus Christ. May God bless you, my